This is America on the Road, winner of the International Automotive Media Conference Gold Medal Award for radio, and now in its 24th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. A major global automaker has announced it is completely changing the way it does business, and we'll have all the details for you in the show. America on the Road is brought to you by Mercury Insurance and DrivingToday.com. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at MercuryInsurance.com. I'm Jack DeRed. With me is co-host Chris Teague, back with us after a week off for home repair and doing stuff on his new house. Thanks so much for being with us again, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me. It is so nice to be doing something other than using a paint roller.
Yeah, pretty much a lot of things are better than using a paint roller. I can attest to that, having rolled on some paint not that long ago in my own house as well. I think a lot of people are painting the interiors of their homes during this COVID lockdown and the aftermath. You, of course, moved into a new house.
I did. You know, the longer you look at the old color on the wall, the worse it gets. So I understand people painting the insides of their houses right now.
Yeah, gives them something to do. You, of course, write for DrivingToday.com, Ford Authority, and Forbes.com. And I write for Driving Today and Forbes.com and several others as well. So we're covering the auto industry from both ends of the country. I'm in Southern California, and you, of course, are in Maine, Chris. As you well know, I didn't have to tell you that, really, did I? I take that as a yes, so that I didn't.
Oh, it's not easy to forget that I live in Maine, especially this time of year.
Yes, especially in, we're getting towards spring. Is it looking a little like spring in Maine or not?
Yeah, you know, the snow's almost gone, and the ice on the river is melting, so I'll take it.
Okay. Yeah, a little harbinger of spring. Pretty soon it'll be spring. I think maybe our next episode will be in the midst of spring next week. This week, we have a special guest. His name is Gary Guthridge. He is the Assistant Vice President of Consumer Portfolio and Loan Products at Navy Federal Credit Union. And you might guess the subject. It is the very important task of getting a great car loan. Nobody knows about that better than our guest, Gary Guthridge. If you do it right, it's a great way to save thousands of dollars. And if you do it wrong, it's painful. Bye-bye money. Do you buy cars with car loans a lot, Chris? Do you shop for car loans?
You know, I made a decision a while ago, if I could help it ever again, to not finance another car, which means probably for me shopping on the used market from now on. But we did just complete a 5-year loan on my wife's car. Had a decent interest rate and relatively painless overall, but that monthly payment, no fun.
Yeah, and it's there for a long time, isn't it? Well, we will talk to our guest about that. In the road test segment, Chris is going to take a detailed look at a kind of a surprising vehicle. What do you have for us this week, Chris?
The 2021 Ford Transit, the full-size Transit.
There you go. And I'll be talking about the 2021 Lincoln Nautilus. It's built for tranquility. So that's a long way from the Dodge Charger SRT Hellcat Red Eye that I reviewed last week. Not exactly built for tranquility, but I'll tell you, tranquility isn't all that bad sometimes. So we'll talk about that. Before we do that, though, let's talk about some automotive news. And BMW made big news this week. They're pushing out, as so many car companies seem to be doing, the whole idea of going electric. I'm wondering if car companies are way ahead of the consumer on that, but BMW certainly is pushing ahead. They say that half of its total sales globally by 2030, which isn't that far off, will be battery electric vehicles, and they have a flurry of planned EV models, and two of them are going to be launched this year. So that's cool. And beyond the BMW brand, Mini, the small vehicle brand, is going to introduce its last internal combustion engine vehicle in 2025. After that, all EV all the time. Even Rolls-Royce is going to electric vehicles. Rolls-Royce, of course, I guess most people, well, I'm not sure if most people do know this, but Rolls-Royce is a BMW-owned brand, and they're going to electric vehicles. Interesting, I think, from BMW. What is your take right off the top on this move by BMW to really commit to electric vehicles?
First, I think it's a natural move for both Mini and maybe surprisingly Rolls-Royce, because Mini, the small, fun car company, the electric powertrain only adds to that. You don't get the noises of an engine, but it's a tiny car that you can get great range out of. There's not a lot of weight there to drag it down. So I think more power to them there. And then on the Rolls-Royce front, you know, the people that are buying those vehicles are generally not driving themselves anyway. And the quiet sensation of, you know, being completely isolated is only aided by an electric powertrain, assuming they can get the range out of it with the weight of those vehicles. But on the BMW front, I'm excited to see it. They're saying 25, I think, electrified vehicles in their portfolio by 2025. So I'm excited for it. As long as they can change the grille design up front, I'll be on board.
Well, the grille design is somewhat reminiscent of a prominent American vehicle of the late 1950s, whose name came from the name of a guy who was a member of the Ford family. His name was Edsel. And whenever I look at the front ends of things like the BMW iX, for example, the vehicle they're about to introduce, I can't help but thinking about Edsels and wondering, you know, how is that going to fly with the BMW faithful. I think it's going to be a cool vehicle. I'm not sure of the styling choice, and I'm not sure of a grill on an electric vehicle in the first place. It's kind of anachronistic or odd. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. And now that you said Edsel, I can't get it out of my head. I had the sort of beaver tooth thing going on for a while, but now that you've dropped the E word, I think it's going to stick with me. But I think people aren't, you know, you get over it after a while, especially if the car drives really well. Like the new M3, M4 that came out recently, people are raving about how they drive and, you know, not so much about how the grill looks. So I think you probably get over that after a while.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to driving the iX, another vehicle they're going to introduce. In fact, they say they're going to introduce it 3 months early, which is amazing. I mean, you don't hear that in the car industry much. I mean, you hear about vehicles being delayed, but you don't hear about them being pushed forward. But the BMW i4 EV sedan, which basically is the same platform or similar platform to the 4 Series and 3 Series, but of course all electric, is going to be launched pretty soon. And that's going to go head-to-head with the Tesla Model 3. And I would say in terms of the styling battle there, the i4 is going to win that battle, just by my taste. And it also might have more than 500 horsepower, which should also stand it in pretty good stead.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You know, on panel gaps and build quality alone, the i4 might win.
And then as you mentioned, they're going to have a lot of vehicles. I think most, virtually every BMW brand vehicle that's currently in the marketplace will have an electric variant before the end of the decade. So that's coming out from BMW. Big news there. And let me get another story in here quickly before we have to go to break. The 2022 Kia Stinger, essentially a BMW wannabe or competitor, depending on how you look at it, has just been introduced. It's going to have more horsepower, especially more horsepower in the standard, in the base car, and more standard driver aids too. The most powerful Stinger GT line, I'm sorry, the most powerful vehicle is the Stinger GT, not the GT line. Forgive me for that confusion. It's probably rampant in the industry. But the GT is only going to get 3 more horsepower, so essentially standing pat there. But the GT line, the base model, is going to get something like 45 additional horsepower, going up to 300 horsepower from 255. I think we're doing the math there correctly. More torque as well, so I think that's going to be a player. I've always liked the Stinger anyway, and now with about 300 horsepower and probably a fairly reasonable price, I think that's going to be a pretty nice combination. What's your take on that, Chris?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Kia Stinger, and more power in that setup is always welcome to me. I think the base price is going to land right around 36 grand. So more horsepower and arguably, I think, better looks than the BMW 3 Series for a lower price. They've got a winner. If they could just sell more of them, hopefully it sticks around long enough for them to be, you know, to stay and be popular on dealers' lots so they don't leave the market.
Yeah, I mean, the difficulty with that is the Kia brand, right? I mean, it's a great car. I think you and I both agree that it has all the stuff it needs to be a great 3-Series competitor. But it has that brand as opposed to, and there's nothing wrong with the Kia brand, it just doesn't have a ton of prestige the way BMW does. So I think that's what's standing in its way of being an even more popular vehicle. But I think Kia's probably getting there, and this next generation's Stinger, really revamped, it's not a totally new generation, is going to help them get there.
I agree. I can't wait to drive it.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to it as well. And coming up, we're going to have the road test segment, so stay with us. Chris is going to take a look at the 2021 Ford Transit. Maybe that vehicle also had something to do with his move from one house to another. I'll talk to him about that. It seems like a smart way to test that vehicle. And I was testing the 2021 Lincoln Nautilus, seeking tranquility in this troubled age. So stay with us for that. We'll be right back with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad, and you're with us right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jack Nerad back with you for road test time right here on America on the Road. Of course, we live to drive and tell you about it. That's what we do. That's what we do for a living, and we enjoy it. We're lucky to be able to do it. And interesting vehicles for you, not exactly totally mainstream, not the highest volume vehicles of all time in this segment, but I think interesting vehicles. And Chris, you were driving a vehicle that's in a lot of ways a commercial vehicle, the Ford Transit. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I think it's probably mostly purchased and used in the commercial setting, but after driving it for a week, I got to say it was a lot more comfortable than I anticipated it being. Of course, this is the full-size Transit. There is also the Transit Connect, which is a smaller sort of runabout van that still does quite well as a taxi and a cargo vehicle. But the full-size Transit, you can get it in a passenger van, which has several rows of seating, or as the cargo van, which is what I had, among a couple of other choices that are definitely commercially oriented. But so you got two seats in front and then a huge cargo space in back. This was the upgraded model, so just a little bit under $40,000 with an optional 3.5-liter EcoBoost, which is a turbocharged V6 engine, 310 horsepower, 400 pound-feet of torque through a 10-speed automatic transmission. This van had all-wheel drive. I think the standard setup is rear-wheel drive. In fact, I know that it is. So very, very comfortable van, as I said. The front seats have been optioned up with, I believe it was vinyl. It wasn't quite as nice as leather. But heated seats, the optional 8-inch Sync 3 touchscreen with navigation and Apple CarPlay, which is quite funny to have in a big echoey van, but we made it work. There's just under 57 inches of cargo height at the back of the van, and the floor length of the bed of the van is 126 inches, so a little bit over 10 feet long. And as you did say, we used it and put it to good use, pulling the rest of the furniture out of our old house. And I have to tell you that it was a total champion at that. So I was able to fit a king size bed, a kid's swing set, a grill, and almost everything from the outside of our house, including Adirondack chairs, without even filling the van completely up. And there was still room for two people to ride up front. So I don't know about you, Jack, but I could almost drive a van like that every day.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much utility to it and a lot to like about it. I always get a kick out of driving commercial vehicles or vehicles that are typically used for commercial purposes because I like that. I mean, there's something so just functional about them that's enjoyable, and it's something different than the norm. They're not necessarily finished the way you would expect a consumer product to be finished or a consumer vehicle to be finished, but there's something kind of refreshing about that. They're more simple, they're more direct, and I think there's a lot to like about them.
I agree. You know, there are some exposed screws and bolts here and there, the floorboard's vinyl, you know, some other things there, but on the whole, you know, there's plenty of horsepower here, plenty of torque, and the seats are comfortable enough to be you know, you could use it on a long haul drive if you needed to without much hassle. And I think what Ford has done really well with the Transit specifically is that they built it up and not out. So going through like the drive-through at Starbucks, for instance, or going through the bank drive-through, you're low enough to reach the window at the bank, but you're not wide enough that you feel like you're going to tear the whole place down, which was the case with the F-350 trimmer that I drove a few weeks ago that we discussed. So overall, I mean, not a family vehicle. They do offer it in a cargo and a passenger setup, but very useful for the people who will need it. And I think it's a winner for those people as well.
You know, we have seen an influx of these vehicles into my town, and I think it was totally related to COVID-19 and the fact that people couldn't typically travel the way they normally traveled. And so they bought these vehicles and they have rigged them out to travel in as essentially travel vans. And as you say, they are tall. They are almost awkwardly looking tall. But at the same time, it strikes me as so functional. And I think maybe this is a trend that's going to continue now that hopefully we are walking away from this pandemic, at least in some manner or means.
Yeah, I do know a few folks from Maine here who are living the van life right now. They're still out on the road, able to work from wherever. One of whom is in a transit as we speak. So, but it is a good choice among the vans that are out there, the Sprinter and the ProMaster from Ram and things. So, I would probably take the Ford over all, but maybe the Mercedes Sprinter.
There you go. Well, I'm not a bad choice, and I tend to agree with you. I was driving a vehicle somewhat different and yet had some similar aspects, at least in terms of the fact that there's a lot of interior space, not nearly the interior space of the Ford Transit, but I was driving the 2021 Lincoln Nautilus, which is a mid-sized luxury SUV, 5-seater, that has a new interior for 2021. And what Lincoln is pushing is quite different than what many car brands push. You know, most car brands are about excitement and, you know, driving excitement, doing those kind of things. Lincoln wants you to have serenity. A sanctuary-like interior is what they're talking about. And there's something to that. I think there's some people who really want that. They're not necessarily looking for excitement out of their drive. They're looking for something that's comfortable and just makes them feel at home. And this is a pretty nice home. This is a well-equipped home if you were to have the Lincoln Nautilus as your home. Lincoln looks at the Nautilus as a entry-level vehicle for many of its potential buyers. It's one of the smaller vehicles, least expensive vehicles in the lineup, so they use it for that. And if they get people excited about the Nautilus, maybe they'll be excited in a serene way about other Lincoln vehicles going forward. I think the biggest news on the inside, and of course the inside is where this vehicle has changed pretty significantly, is the addition of Sync 4 with a 13.2-inch center stack screen. So that's big. I mean, that's the largest available across the entire Lincoln brand. And they have also added the piano key, is what they call it, the piano key shifter. I'm not certain how I feel about that shifter. It took me a second or two to kind of sort it out. But after, I guess, seconds, that's not too long, is it? I came to terms with it. Well, what do you think about the piano key thing? It is literally lined up like a row of keys that you push, you know, drive and neutral and reverse, et cetera, et cetera. What's your take?
You know, I don't mind it so much other than that it's not always as responsive as you'd hope. Like if you're in reverse and you shift to drive to go, it sometimes takes a moment. But that's more probably the transmission than the shifter itself. But I like the piano keys better than some of the implementations like in Mercedes-Benz, who have the shifter built into what is also the windshield wiper stock of most other cars. So it's built right into the stock right there. So I think that, you know, it's a little bit more intuitive than something like that, but you get used to it after a while.
Yeah, I'm not, I guess I like it as well as these rotary shifters that we see these days, you know, essentially a knob that you turn to the proper drive or reverse gear. I think it works just fine and you easily come to terms with it and then you go on. I think one of the things that separates the Nautilus from the Ford version of this vehicle is the fact that they really spend a lot of time on the interiors, on the themes of the interiors, on the leather and the other materials that they use in the interior. For example, the one we were driving had the Black Label Chalet theme. Yes, the Black Label Chalet. That sounds like a chalet to go to, right? I mean, if you're going to a chalet, why not have some Black Label while you're at it? Had kind of the tone of an après ski lodge, according to Lincoln, and I would support that. I don't think they're lying to us with that. So I enjoyed that. And I would say when you look at the interior and look at things like the Lincoln Way app that allows you to start the car and get in the car using your smartphone as opposed to using a traditional key, that's a good thing. The voice recognition in the vehicle uses conversational English, which is good. That's what I speak. Not very well, but I try to use conversational English in a natural voice, so it would recognize me, perhaps, were I to say that. And it allows for over-the-air updates. You've noticed that I've talked about this vehicle for a long time and have not yet mentioned the engines, and that's because the engines, in some ways, are almost an afterthought in the Lincoln Nautilus, but they there are two engines available, and they're both just fine. The base engine is a 2.7-liter twin-turbocharged V6 with 335 horsepower. I'm sorry, that is the up-level engine. And then there is a 2-liter turbocharged four-cylinder that is the standard engine with 250 horsepower. That makes more sense that the standard engine would have 250 horsepower, and the upper-level engine would have more horsepower and higher displacement. That's how the industry typically works, so I'm glad I sorted that out for myself. 8-speed transmission. Overall, just a nice vehicle. Very comfortable, serene vehicle, loaded with stuff like adaptive cruise control with stop and go, lane centering tech. It's just a nice vehicle to be in and spend some time with, especially after I came out of the Red Eye last week. Not that I didn't enjoy the Red Eye, I did, but I like the Lincoln Nautilus as well.
I agree. You know, people, the jokes about Lincoln being for old people and things like that. But I got to be honest with you, at times you just want to be relaxed in your car. And they've done a really good job at building that sensation in. And I think that the new interior of the Nautilus, especially the way it is, it's very tastefully done. It's very minimalist. It's not in your face, even with the large screen. I think that probably melds into the dash quite well. So I'm looking forward to getting behind the wheel of the new one. I think it'll be every bit as serene, as you say, as the last one was, if not probably more so.
Right. Let's up the serenity quotient, and, you know, it's fine by me sometime, you know.
I don't know how you quantify that, but
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not with horsepower, I can tell you that. Well, when we come back, we're going to be taking your listener questions, so look forward to that. With Chris Teague, this is Jack Nerad with you, and we're so glad you're with us right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jack Nerad with you, and we're so glad you're with us. In fact, if you like what you hear on the show, please pass our show along to a friend of yours who likes cars or maybe just likes to hear two guys talk, because we do that every week on America on the Road. We talk about cars, and it's two guys, so it's all of the stuff that I mentioned right there. This is listener question time on the show, and one of the things we really enjoy doing is answering listener questions and helping people understand the auto industry and cars themselves a little bit better. And I think, Chris, you have a listener question for us today, do you not?
I do. This is from a person who is out car shopping or vehicle shopping, and they've seen the term e-torque used on certain vehicles, and they want to know what that's all about. Jack, can you enlighten us?
I can. Absolutely, I can. And e-torque is a system, essentially a mild hybrid system is what it's called in the industry, that's available on Jeep vehicles and Ram trucks. And what it really does is enables the vehicle to collect, store, and use energy that otherwise would have been wasted, which seems like a really good thing. It has advantages all around. It improves fuel economy. It adds to towing capability, hauling capability. And it really enhances drivability, too, and I'll tell you a little bit about how it does that. So there's a lot of positives to it. As I say, mild hybrid system, so it's not as complicated or nearly as expensive as the hybrid system that would be, say, in a Toyota Prius or something like that. Essentially, what they do is they replace the conventional alternator. And you, of course, know what the alternator does on the vehicle, right, Chris?
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
It helps charge the battery.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there to charge the battery, essentially. And they replace that with a motor generator unit that has several functions in in addition to the standard function of keeping the vehicle batteries charged. And it is because that's installed, the whole electrical system gets significantly different than in a conventional vehicle. In the eTorque system, the motor generator supplies electricity to a dedicated battery pack, and the battery pack is 48 volt versus the standard 12 volt in a typical car battery. And it uses nickel manganese cobalt battery technology or battery chemistry. It includes, the battery pack itself has a direct current to direct current converter. So it will change that 48 volt current to 12 volts and it will use it to charge the onboard 12 volt battery. And interestingly, these vehicles use a 12 volt battery for initial starting and to help with the, or not to help, but to power the onboard accessories. These are also 12 volt. So you have two kind of different voltage situations within the same vehicle. One of the great things about the motor generator is it does brake regeneration, and that captures energy that otherwise would have been lost as heat. So it feeds power to the 48-volt battery pack and keeps it there for when it needs to be used. So that's pretty efficient right off the top. The battery is fairly easily mounted in there, depending on the vehicle. And the eTorque system is used on a variety of vehicles from Jeep and Ram trucks, most typically on the 3.6-liter Pentastar V6 engine. You'll also see eTorque on the four-cylinder turbo that's used in some Jeeps, like the Wrangler, and the 5.7-liter Hemi V8 engine also can be equipped with eTorque. I think one of the coolest things about this, Chris, and you probably experienced this too, is that it adds torque when you need it, kind of torque on demand. It's not a ton of torque, but there's a significant amount of torque, 90 pound-feet or so, that it can just throw in there whenever you need it. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree. The last time I tested it was in a Ram 1500 with the Hemi engine, was the eTorque. And down low, you know, it's just very smooth. And the torque, you could feel it, you know, when you put your foot down, it's there, which I didn't get to tow with the vehicle, but I could see that being a great, you know, helping you get off the line or, you know, kind of move up a hill type of situation. Without overstressing the engine, I think it's a great implementation.
One area that probably unexpected, you might not even notice where when it's happening, is it adds torque during shifting of gears. So it'll basically soften that, you know, little hesitation that we often feel when gears are changed, and will kind of smooth out the ride, really add drivability. And if you had 90 pound-feet of torque just to throw in at a second's notice, or less than a second's notice, a millisecond's notice, whenever you needed it, you can do a lot to improve drivability all around. It's pretty cool what they can do with the eTorque system.
Absolutely agree.
It also adds to fuel economy. Of course, I can't quote fuel economy figures here because they're different depending on the size of the vehicle and et cetera, et cetera. But it'll add a bit of fuel economy and I think significant added drivability. So, you know, to the listener who is asking about vehicles with the eTorque system, I'm nothing but positive about them. I don't see much in the way of downside, not much in the way of added expense to it. And having that added power that's basically for free, it's just a good thing.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, there you go. So that was our listener question for this week. If you would like to leave us a listener question, please send it to us at editor@drivingtoday.com. editor@drivingtoday.com is a way to get it to us. And we'll answer it on an upcoming program. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Gary Guthridge. He is the Assistant Vice President of Consumer Portfolio and Loan Products at Navy Federal Credit Union. We're not going to be talking about consumer portfolios so much, but we are going to be talking about car loans because he's an expert on that. Actually, I think he used to work at Toyota. So absolute expert on car loans. So we'll be talking with Gary Guthridge when we come back. With Chris Teague, this is Jack Nerad with you, and we're so glad you're with us right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad back with you, and we have a very special guest talking about a really important subject, and the subject is auto finance. You know, financing the car, getting that car loan. What should you know about that? His name is Gary Guthridge. He is the Assistant Vice President of Consumer Portfolio and Loan Protection Products for Navy Federal Credit Union. Gary, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Well, Gary, as we were talking just before we went on the air here, you're a longtime car loan veteran. Give us a little bit about your background and before we go farther.
Yeah, so I cut my teeth in auto lending in the year of 1981. So I won't reveal my age, but you can tell from there I've been around for a while. I cut my teeth repossessing cars for GMAC. Way back in the day when they were a major, major player with the General Motors products. From there, I moved on to Toyota Financial, was one of their regional managers. I left Toyota and after 13 years and went to work for a couple regional banks and headed up their lending, their auto lending groups. And then 11 years ago, I made the best move of my career and moved to Navy Federal. And I head up the portfolio team, which is the originations team, setting rates, making decisions, all that good stuff.
Well, that's terrific. What a great background and so much knowledge you have to share with our listeners. And that's what we're all about, is helping people understand things better and allowing them to make better decisions. So let's dive right into that. I certainly want to talk to you about Navy Federal and about credit unions in general. But before we do that, Let's go over what people should know about the whole auto loan process as we stand right now with all the various opportunities people have for going online and pre-qualifying. Yeah. Just walk us through all of that stuff.
Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned that. So, years ago, the customers or what we call members, or let's just call them consumers, didn't really have a whole lot of avenues to work with or paths to go down. Because of the technology. But in today's world, there's so much technology available to them. So shame on them if they don't do their homework and research what they want to buy, whether it be a brand new car or a used car or a certified pre-owned, either any of those vehicles. They need to go out and search all the websites, and all the information is out there. Number two, they need to know what their credit's like. You can't walk blindly into a dealership to buy a car, whether it be new or used, without knowing your credit history, because the dealers will obviously pull your credit, and at that point, you're at their mercy. So I'm a big proponent of getting pre-qualified, and that's one thing Navy Federal does very well, is that we will pre-qualify our members, even give them a blank draft for any type of car they want to buy up to a certain dollar amount. And at that point, you have some shopping power. You have some power to shop with. And if the dealer does give you a better rate with all the subvented rates that are out there right now, well, good for you. You have a good rate in your hand. And if you go to the dealership and they offer you 0% or 0.9% and it's better than what your current lender has given you, then all power to you. You just struck an even better deal. So on the financing side, I just think that people really need to use the tools that are available to them, and they are plenty.
Well, and let's talk a bit about those, and let's talk a bit about what exactly meant by pre-qualifying, because you know that's a term that's bandied about a lot. I recommend that people get pre-qualified, but I'm not certain that the typical consumer even knows exactly what that means. Walk us through that and why it's so valuable.
Sure. So being pre-qualified would be going through a direct lending source. An indirect source would be a financial source that would be available through the dealership. They would offer the financing through a lender that is connected through the dealership. Navy Federal and a lot of other banks that would pre-qualify a member. So let me step back. When you go through the dealership, the apps are filtered through the lender. Let's say it's a Toyota store. They would filter the app to Toyota Financial Services. Toyota Financial Service would come back to the dealer and say, the consumer is approved or declined. Here's their rate and here's their term. When you get pre-qualified, I'll use Navy Federal as a source. You would contact Navy Federal via online channel, your mobile app, or you could call one of our contact centers or go to one of our 350 branches. Say you want to apply for a loan. and you're not really sure what you want to buy. You're struggling between a new Toyota and a pre-owned Honda. So what we will do, we'll pre-qualify you. We will tell you right there how much you do qualify for and what is the interest rate in the term. We will give you a loan draft for a set amount that you want. And then at that point, you go shopping. And as I said before, if you go to a Honda store and you decide you want to buy a Honda, and Honda has a special financing or subvented program right now that allows 0% for 60 months on all Accords, and you want to buy an Accord, the dealer offers that to you, and you do have to qualify. It is for special, I'm going to say, high qualifying members or consumers. And if you do qualify, hey, you just struck yourself a better deal. So with that pre-approval, it does give you some shopping power, and it knows exactly where you stand at the dealership level. On the other side of that coin, if you go in and your direct lender has given you 3.99% on a new car, and the dealer comes back and says, the best rate I can give you is 5.99, then you have the 3.99 in your pocket, and you know what your payment is, your term, and you're good to go.
Right, and I was going to say, Gary, you can negotiate as if you had that cash in hand, basically. You can negotiate as if you're a cash customer, which is valuable to you. Tell our listeners a little bit about subvented financing. A lot of people, I think, scratch their heads and go, how can the dealer offer me 0% financing, something like that? Tell us the behind the scenes on that so people can grasp that.
Sure. So the subvented financing... So I'll use a Toyota again. So if the Eastern region or the whole entire country, the Toyota dealerships, they want to move, and the regional manufacturers, they want to move, let's say they want to move 50,000 Camrys in the next 60 days. They will approach the lender, which would be Toyota Financial Service, and say, hey, listen, we want to offer 0% for all our Camrys for the next 60 days. For 60 months financing, what's it going to cost us? So the manufacturer figures it out. The lender buys down the rate. Say the going rate is 299, they'll buy it down to zero, and the manufacturer will put that out. So the manufacturer is not giving it to the lender for free. They're buying it down. And the way the lender makes the money, in this case Toyota Financial, is that they sell 50,000 Camrys in the next 60 days. So the other piece that comes with this is that a lot of subvented lending comes with either the 0% or the 0.9 or the 1.9. Nissan's offering 0% for 72 months right now on a lot of their vehicles. It's an either or. So if you do get pre-qualified and the dealer says, well, I can give you $4,500 off the price of the car, or I can give you 0%. Then you figure out with the dealership, what is the best option for you? If you're a payment shopper, would my rate of 2.19 at Navy Federal be a better scenario for you in the long run with the $4,500? And at that point, you can negotiate still negotiate the price of the car. So in a lot of cases, if the manufacturer is offering a rebate or the subvented financing, and being that rates are so low right now, historically low, even on the consumer side of the auto lending piece, along with the mortgage, as we all know, you can get yourself a better deal by using this the pre-approved check or a rate from the dealer, I mean for the financier, and you can take the money back from the lender. From the dealer. So it's all about weighing your options.
Right. And you have a lot of options. What do you think, Gary, is the best way? And we're talking with Gary Guthridge. He's Assistant Vice President of Consumer Portfolio at Navy Federal Credit Union. What do you think is the best way for the typical car buyer to approach all this? You know, there's math involved. There's finance involved that they're not typically privy to. How do they go about unwinding all this?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you are a member of a credit union or you have a great relationship with a lender, a bank, you have you're directly related to a bank, they have loan calculators. Go right onto the website, click on auto finance. I want to buy a new car. Navy Federal has a site that says, I want to buy a new car. Click on that, and there are drop downs on how much would my payment be if I financed 60 months? How much would my payment be if I financed for 72 months at $30,000? Drop down, you can pick from your rate, and then if that you see what you like, you just click a button and you can apply right there. So it's just doing a little bit of research. Even if you don't have a bank that you feel comfortable with, you can go online, just look at an auto loan calculator, and then go to any lender that you know of, and you can apply there. All the big auto lenders, I'll name Cap One, they have their own direct site that you can go on and fill out an application, get an answer right away.
Right.
So you just have to take your time, go through the steps, and use all the tools that are out there, especially those that are provided by most of the lenders out there.
And I think it's important to do this before you enter the dealership, right? I mean, something
yes,
you
sir.
Need to do at home and pay attention to, and it gives some time to, because this gives you leverage in the dealership. This gives you a basis of comparison that otherwise you would just not have.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% correct. You know, and it's always been that one of the most dreaded experiences for a consumer is buying a car. And it really shouldn't be that way, because in today's world, with all the technology that's out there, you really do have leverage when you go into the dealership if you do your homework. You have leverage with the dealership. I'll give you an example. My daughter and my son-in-law just bought a brand new Toyota. They got financing from Navy Federal. They did all their homework. They got a check to go to the dealership to buy the car. And then the dealer had subvented financing on a RAV4. So they wound up not using Navy Federal. And they got a cheaper payment using Toyota Financial Services. But they did all their homework beforehand. Financing, price of the car, everything.
Right. And you didn't disown them for doing that either, did you?
I did not. I did not. I didn't talk to them for a week, but no, I'm just kidding. And I was proud of them.
Yeah.
They did the right thing. You know, not every loan that we give our members is an approval. We give them a pre-approval, but they cash them because they go into the dealership and they do have leverage, and that we like that. If our member gets a better experience and they get a better payment, maybe we'll get them on the next one.
Right.
So we don't finance every 100% of the ones we approve. That's for sure.
Let's talk a bit about terms and length of term. I mean, we see 0% financing, and sometimes it's for 36 months. Sometimes it's for 60 months. Sometimes it's for 84 months. Give our listeners the chapter and verse on what that means to them.
Well, you know, obviously, the farther you stretch out the term, you don't build any equity in the vehicle. So, but it used to be that if you went to 5 years on an auto loan, they were going to send you to the doctor to get your head checked because it was too long. Our average term right now on a new car, the average amount financed on a new car today at Navy Federal is $35,000 and pushing up every month. So most members, that's a pretty steep payment at 48 or 60 months. So our average term is right around 72 months for a new car. So it's all about the payment, and it's all about budgeting for that payment. But the worst thing you can do is stretch it out so far just to fit it into the budget. As do other lenders, we offer up to 8 years financing on a new car. We do very little of them, and we most of the time discourage that because we don't want our members in a car for financing it for 8 years when the normal term, the normal duration of the loan is 36 to 40 months. It's actually 38 months with our portfolio. And I think that's probably pretty accurate to most auto portfolios out there. So at 38 months and you have, you would have what, 50, so 96 at 36 months, you still have 5 years left to pay on the car. And then at that point, you go to trade it in and the dealer says, well, you owe $25,000 on the car, but your car is only worth 20. So now you're in a bad state as far as the equity goes. So we really encourage our members to really look at the term, what makes sense for them. And if they need to stretch the term way out like that, maybe they should step down and buy something a little less expensive. That is another benefit of getting pre-qualified. At the dealer level, you see that big shiny car in front of you. You have to have it. And the only way you can get it is the dealer puts you out at 84 months. Probably not the right thing to do.
For a lot of reasons. I always ask my listeners, will you feel as comfortable making that same new car payment 6 years in, 7 years into a loan on a seven-year-old car as you're comfortable making it on a brand new car that you're driving off the lot? And I think when people look at it that way, they realize, well, probably not. Probably that's not the best plan at all. And I think also what you're identifying is in the middle of a car loan, you can decide to sell that car when if you have, say, a 6, 7, 8 year loan on it in the middle of that term, and you're liable to be upside down. Exactly what you described. The car is worth less as a trade-in than what you owe on it, and you have to make up that difference. It's got to come out of somewhere, and it's going to come out of you. So it's a difficult one.
Correct.
Let's talk a bit about Navy Federal and credit unions in general. I think a lot of people are finding credit unions more and more attractive. Tell us a bit about that.
Credit unions, Navy Federal, right now we're the largest credit union in the world. We have 10 million members, a global network of right around 350 branches. And we serve all of DOD, Coast Guard active duty, veterans, and civilian contractors and their families. So we have a broad brush that we have, and we provide 24/7 service to our membership, and we're all about the members. Our motto is the members are our mission, and that's to say for all credit unions out there. It's a nonprofit, not for profit FI, and we put our members first, and we will work with our members to put them in the right car. We're what we call, we're a maybe lender. So a lot of lenders are, and a lot of credit unions do this. We don't just say yes and no. So if one of our young military members applies and they see that nice shiny Mustang that costs $44,000, they come to us and they go to one of our branches, and one of our branch members, a staff employee says, no, I submitted your application, but we can't do 44, but we can do 20. We can put you in a $20,000 car. So why don't we go back out shopping and look for maybe a used Mustang and come back and see what you have. So we don't just say, no, you can't afford it. We work with the members and we kind of structure the deals for them if they do looking for a pre-approval. On the back end, a good example this year, the pandemic, which has affected so many people. Our back end shop, our collection shop, our member, we have a certified team that works with our members that are running into troubles, that members that have paid us as agreed for years, and now they lost their job because of the pandemic. We do a lot of things for our members to work with them to keep them in the car. And that's worked tremendous for us. So the credit unions are more about helping the members, putting them in the right spot, and making sure that their financial life, it goes down the straight line versus wavering when you don't deal with an institution that really cares about your well-being.
Right. Gary, if you had one thing to say to car buyers that they should know about vehicle financing, what would it be? What should they keep in mind as they go to get a car loan?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to be smart. Take your time. Believe it or not, buying a 50,000, everything you read, buying a 50,000 car, it's an impulse buy. A lot of consumers, they see a car, they love it, and they rush into it. And then 3 weeks later, they're like, oh my gosh, I just did the wrong thing. So one, take your time, do your research, do your homework. There's tools out there. Even if you're buying a used car, one service that we provide for our members is that we provide them with every approval on a used car. We give them a free Carfax report, and we provide that to them so they have it in their hand when they buy the car. Most new car dealerships do provide that up front, But if you have that in your hand, you've done your research, say if the car has flood damage. It was involved in Katrina, and the car was, you know, shipped around, and all of a sudden it's at a dealership, and it's got a wash title, and the car has been in a flood, and it's really not worth the $20,000 you're paying for. So do your homework. Products like Carfax, there's Auto Trader, all these different buying services, TrueCar, Navy Federal has just contracted with TrueCar to use their auto buying service. So, you know, tools like that. There's so many things out there that consumers can use before they make that step into the dealership and have some leverage. Like you said, I think you put it great, Jack. Have some leverage in your pocket. Have something in your pocket that you can go back to the dealership and say, okay, I understand your deal, but this is the deal I have. And this is the deal that I want because I'm the consumer. I'm buying the car. So I want to make the best deal for myself. Just do your homework. Be patient. Take your time. I think that's the best for everyone.
Absolutely. Well, that's really, really good advice. Gary Guthridge, Assistant Vice President of Consumer Portfolio and Loan Protection Products at Navy Federal Credit Union. Thanks so much for being with us. We really do appreciate it. What excellent advice you've given us, Gary. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for having me.
And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road. And that, of course, was our interview with Gary Guthridge. He is the Assistant Vice President of Consumer Portfolio and Loan Products at Navy Federal Credit Union. I think he gave us a lot of really interesting tips on how to get the best car loan, what the best car loan is. Maybe the best car loan is no car loan at all. That's another subject, and maybe we'll take that up on an upcoming show. I would also like to thank Chris Teague, who is back with us this week after a week off. Thanks so much for being with us, Chris. We always love having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And I will say thank you to everyone listening and also ask you if you like what you heard, go ahead and hit like and or subscribe, hopefully both, wherever you get your podcast. It will help us continue to get in front of more people and bring them along for the ride.
We'd love to have you along for the ride. If you, as I say, if you like the show, please pass it along to someone you know and like. Please pass it along to people you like because we think maybe they'll like us. I'd also like to recommend to you checking out my book, The GR Factor, Unleashing the Undeniable Power of the Golden Rule. I think it can probably help you in your daily life. It's helped me, so check that out. See if you like it. It's available wherever books are sold, certainly on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc., etc. With Chris Teague, I enjoy being with you. So thanks so much for being with us. Please join us again next week for another edition of America on the Road. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at mercuryinsurance.com.